Open up your Bibles to Philemon. That's on. I had to look it up in the table of contents. It's on page 295. Philemon. It's the little page right before Hebrews. Go to Hebrews and back up one page, and you'll find the big old book of Philemon. We're going to start in chapter 1.
Yes. Of course.
Hallelujah. All right, and since we're right so close to Hebrews, go ahead and just put a marker in Hebrews 11:1. And before we start either one of those, go to Romans 6. Hey, I'm just getting the download now. What can I tell you? He's kind of going to be reviewing, it's kind of along the same lines as this morning's message, but a little bit more detailed. This morning in the early service, I taught on I think we're going to call that message, Faith Empowers Grace. See, we've all been made inheritors. We've all been made partakers of God's grace. And He's not partial. He's not like, okay, I give you 10% of my grace and I give you 20% of my grace. No, He gives His full measure of His grace to each and every one of us. How much of that we receive or how much of that we walk in has everything to do with our faith. So I was using the example this morning because it's a good, clear example and it steps on my toes and not yours. Way back years ago, while I was at the ugly building, and I think everyone knows by now that the one vice that hung on the longest for me was smoking. I just, man, that for years and years and years and years, and I couldn't seem to get rid of it. But, you know, again, I don't care what your fault is, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. And I thank God that Dave keep telling us, he said, look, God will walk through hell with you, with your faults, just so long as you don't start, condoning them or justifying them or saying it's okay or, you know. I always knew it was wrong and tried 100 times to quit, but I just couldn't find it anyway. So with that in mind, now this was years ago, I was going through chapter 6. I'm just going to real quickly kind of go through the same thing I mentioned this morning. Hey, what are you going to do? I mean, I know that smoking a cigarette won't send you to hell. The problem with it, I was addicted to. See, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient, and I will not be brought under the power of anything. Well, that's when you get in trouble, is when you start getting brought under the power of it. And they definitely had me controlled. You know, the money was staying away from us in great abundance. We always managed to have our cigarettes. Somehow, some way, we managed. I mean, you know, we were hooked. We'd go without food almost. Almost. So here I am in that condition, and I'm just doing the message. I'm meditating and assimilating Romans. And this was during the days when Dave was taking us down the Born Again Trail. In those days, your Bible at the prayer center, you know, just fell open to the book of Romans. I mean, you know, we were there forever. And so here I am. I'm going to do it kind of like I did this morning, just to get your mind going this way. And I'm walking out there in the pasture. It was a beautiful day. It's more than once, but I just remember this one day in particular. I'm walking out there. It's a beautiful spring day in Oklahoma. I'm just, I've been in worship for a while. The presence of the Lord has come. He'd love me and His presence would come. One time a friend came over to that ugly building and it was just ugly. Now, I mean, just, why did you call it that? Because it was ugly. And this guy come, he walked in the door and the presence of the Lord was so strong, he got woozy. He had to hang on, he got to grab hold of the wall. He says, what have you been doing here? I said, I've been worshiping God and praying in tongues. Well, God shows up. With my nasty habit, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, you know? But still, I knew I needed to be free. So later, you know, I'm walking out there, and it was a beautiful spring day. It was a blue sky like we have in Oklahoma, and that sun just shining down. And I'm reading this, and I'm trying to understand it. And I'm just puffing away on a cigarette, you know. What shall we say then? Romans 6:1. Man, what shall we say then? Puff, puff. Shall we continue in sin? And I'm thinking, maybe. That grace may abound. God forbid. Oh, God. How shall we who? We that are dead to sin. Puff, puff. Live any longer therein. Yeah, God help me too. It was difficult. Now, I don't have time to do this whole chapter. Let's come down in a little bit. Let's look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is, not going to be, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Puff, puff. By that time, that cigarette's over. Got to light another one. Okay, light another one. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Free from sin. Okay, come on over to verse 14. For sin, and all of this applies, we just don't have time, you know. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Boy, those cigarettes had dominion over me. I'm telling you. And efforts in the flesh, even by this time, even I had given up. Okay? I had tried so many times. I had no faith in that at all. I had to receive something, some kind of revelation or something, because I already knew my own effort was not going to work. I'd already tried, you know, when you've run full speed into a brick wall about 100 times, even you get convinced that thing ain't moving. I'm just hurting myself now. That thing ain't moving, you know. So I had to do something else. See? So what am I doing? Better is a creep that prays and meditates and does the message. So, and verse 14 would just kill me. It said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Puff, puff. For you're not under the law, but under grace. And I'd go, what? I know that I'm under grace. I know that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Lord, I've preached these verses. How does that... I said, God, I know this is plainly telling me that I am free from sin. And I remember this day. I would never forget it. Thank God for this day. And I said, you know, every time I try and quit this, I mean, the withdrawals just drive me crazy. But yet your word says that I'm free from sin. Do you understand? I don't have any evidence that that's true except what I read here in your word. And instantly I heard, that's all the evidence you need. But still now, still, it didn't seem, I mean, isn't that great? Didn't have, puff, puff. I'm still, didn't help a bit. I mean, you know, what does that mean? How do you take, I mean, I wouldn't argue with you. I could preach the verse. I knew it was true. But how do you get the empowerment of it? How does it become effectual? How does it become effective? See? All right. Well, you can leave your place there. Come on over to Hebrews 11. I'm going to read our famous verse that all of you know by heart. Because when he said that, my word is all the evidence you need. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, in that case, what was I hoping for? What was the end result? If I could, it would be a smoke-free Gary, a non-addicted Gary, a free-from-sin, in that realm, Gary. That's the hope. See? And the enemy wants you to lose hope. It doesn't matter whether you're standing for your children, standing for this, standing for finances, standing for the salvation of your loved ones, standing for revival in Tulsa. The enemy is on purpose all the time, 24/7, working to destroy your hope. Because if he can get you into a hopeless situation, see, God is called the God of hope. And if he can destroy your hope, now faith has nothing to give substance to. It's important to keep the vision. It's important to keep that hope. It's important for Gary in that situation. Okay, I don't understand it yet, but I have an image. I will not always be bound to these things. Someday I'm going to be free. See, you say, well, that's off in the future. That's what hope is. See? But faith, it says, is the substance. Substance means tangible. It's the substance of the thing you're hoping for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. Well, what was not seen at that time, now see, I hope you can relate this to the miracle you need. Whatever it is that you're after. His word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, Romans 6, what am I reading? What am I hearing? Gary, you're free. You're a dead man, Gary. You died with Christ. A dead man is free from sin, Gary. Faith is coming, but faith is not effectual. And we're going to talk about how do you get your faith to be effectual. For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. Okay. Now watch this. Go over to Philemon now. Years ago he showed me this. One of the best things I ever saw in my life. Philemon, and the verse we're after is verse 6. I hope you have a King James Bible because some translations really mess up this verse. If you, like Dave says, if you don't have a King James, you can buy a real Bible tomorrow. But anyway, I'm teasing. Don't anybody write me any letters. You ought to hear the letter. You ought to read some of the letters. You know? Golly, you know. Take a joke. I mean, I do believe the King James is a very anointed translation. I also know I have to keep a dictionary and a concordance close by when I read it, you know. But I do know that at least it's not a paraphrase.
Right.
You got to be careful of paraphrases, and you got to be careful of some translations now. But anyway, we're just going to start in verse 1. We're headed for verse 6. Say, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he was in prison when he wrote this letter, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved, that person, Apphia, and Archippus. I bet that's not how you say it. Archippus, probably. Our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. This guy started a Bible study. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And maybe by this time it was a church, you know, in his house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now get this. That the communication of thy faith may become, look at that word, effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the addicted say, I am free. This goes all the way back to the faith of Abraham. This is how, when God, it goes really all the way back to God in Genesis 1. God wanted light. There was no light. What does he starts using words, does he not? Light be, and light was. Everything he began to speak came to pass by the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, now he spoke it through the Lord. God the Father would conceive it. Jesus is the Word. He would speak it. Now, at that time he was Christ. I doubt his name was Jesus. But it's the second member of the Godhead anyway. You know, he was the Word, always with God, always was God. And he's the Word. He would speak it, and the Holy Spirit would perform it. That operation is still going on. Okay? All right? With Abraham. Talk about the faith of Abraham. In fact, it's in Rome. Go ahead and go to Romans 4. That's all. Now, hold your place here in Philemon. We're going to come back. We're going to dissect and really look at this. I want you to go to Romans 4 for a minute, though. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start a little earlier than I was going to. See, look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Did you see that? Now, this morning's message is faith is what empowers grace. See, when I was walking through there, I would read God's Word there in Romans 6, and what does it say? Gary, you're free. Gary, you're a dead man. Gary, you're free from these cigarettes. I'm going, I have no evidence. Trust me, when I start trying to quit, my body gives me lots of evidence that I'm not free. See, and this applies to healing. You know? He says, I said, well, how do I know I'm free? My Word says you're free. Well, that's not the evidence we want.
Right.
When I feel free. When I feel free. I've told you before, it was a year and a half from the day I quit before my first day where I actually, before I went to bed, I went, you know, I never thought of a cigarette all day. It was a year and a half. I was just as free the first day. And actually, I was just as free 4th of July, 1980, the day I got saved. His grace was available to me then. Amen? All right? But what I couldn't understand was, how do I get that knowledge into action? How do I get that truth in the Spirit materialized in the realm I'm walking in? Because, boy, to me, this is great for you. I know you believe it. You ain't the one bound with this. But to me, this ain't helping me much. You know? And isn't that the person with cancer? Aren't they in the same boat? Or no matter what it is, you've got your faith out there for it. But notice how faith and grace are related here. Verse 16, that it is of faith. Why? That it might be by grace. See, if you don't have faith in it, if you don't believe it yourself, so now we've come over to, and we're going to go on here a little more here. See, the problem is never with God's Word. It's never that He has not yet shown His power on your behalf. He has. The problem always is on our end. We may have knowledge of it, but there's a big difference between knowledge and faith. It's not what you know, it's what you believe. Remember this, you don't receive from God what you need. You receive from God what you believe. Amen? Faith is the substance, not need. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith and grace are completely intertwined. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace. Why? To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. This is available to every single believer. His grace is activated, energized, made effectual by faith. His grace is available to us all. Not everybody's walking in it. I could have not walked in it and still be bound for another 10 years. Thank God that's over. Hallelujah. But anyway, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Did you hear that said out loud? Calleth those things which be not as though they were. Say it again. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. Let's go back to Philemon real quick. Philemon. That the verse 6. I told you to hold your place there now. That the communication of thy faith, it's on page 295, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. What all is in you in Christ Jesus? What did God put in you? He put His nature. He put His own life. That same strength that enabled Jesus before He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, He wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost till age 30 by John the Baptist. But He'd already lived a sinless life for 30 years. How did He do it? By the strength of that life of God, that nature of God that was on the inside of Him. That's how He did it. And He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. That same life that He walked in has been given to us at the new birth. How in the world do we get it to become effectual? What does it say there? Your first step, by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. That would be like, let the weak say, I am strong. Well, with that thinking in mind, hold your place. Yes. With that thinking in mind, go back to Romans 6 for a minute. This is the whole principle of calling in the lost, by the way, or calling anything that's not as though it were, until it is. You know? Romans 6. So we're going back to Romans 6. Yeah. Now how do you do that? I'm trying to give you as examples from my life how I literally did it. Because the Word of God's not going to change, is it? You know? His grace, His faith is not going to change. I have to change. Well, step one, I have got to start acknowledging every good thing that's in me. How do you acknowledge something? You say it so. Say, is this your daughter? I acknowledge her. This is my daughter. You know? Well, so what I did in my case because I was trying to develop my faith in this part of God's grace. Well, I took this chapter and verse by verse by verse, I just made a present tense confession out of it. It's very much like Abraham beginning to call himself the father of many nations when he had absolutely no evidence in the natural that was ever... I mean, again, we got one, he's 99, his wife's 100, one wrinkled old prune snuggled up to another wrinkled old prune. There's not much evidence this is going to happen, okay, in the natural. Plus, they've been trying their whole married life, but even when they were young and they couldn't have children. They have no evidence at all that this is going to happen except what? God said it. God gave them a hope. Now remember, God gave them a vision to look at, the stars in the heaven at night, the sand on the desert during the day. So they had hope. They had an image. Now God is changing what they say to begin acknowledging the Word of God that had been given to them. What was the promise? I am the Father of a multitude. And people go, where? Where? I see one, you, there's you, Sarah. One, two. No multitude. Not even one child. How do you know you're the father of a multitude? I have God's word on it. Yeah, but. Remember those yabbits? You got to watch out for the yabbits. Yeah, but. Look. Look, Abraham. This is what the devil's always trying to do. He did that with me. Look. Look how you're addicted to these things. Look. You've been smoking since you was 14. What makes you think you're going to be able to quit? You're not free. No. You know, all these things. Then I'd go, I got to look at what God said. I got to have an image of a smoke-free Gary. How do you know you're free? His word says I'm free. Same way that Abraham, I am the father of a multitude. How do you know you have revival? God said He's going to send revival to this city. That's what He sent us here for. That's the assignment of this church, to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. God said it. We believe it. We're going to have it. Amen. But you got to start. How does it start? You begin to acknowledge those things. Abraham acknowledged it. I am the father of a multitude. Right when he had no physical evidence at all, I began to do those same things with Romans 6. No, Gary's not going to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. How shall Gary, who is dead to sin, live any longer therein? I was baptized into Jesus Christ at His death. I was buried with Him by baptism into death. Just like He was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Gary now walks in newness of life. I have been planted together in the likeness of His death, and I am also in the likeness of His resurrection. Glory, it gives me goosebumps right now. Something happens to you when you begin acknowledging every good thing that God has given us by this grace. If I have been planted together in the likeness of His death, I shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that my old man is crucified with Him. The body of sin has been destroyed. Henceforth, I shall not serve sin. Puff, puff. Because at that moment, I still could not lay them down. What am I doing, though? I am beginning, finally, to acknowledge the truth of what God has said, at least with my mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Finally, at least with my mouth, just like Abraham, that's the only thing he could do at first, was begin to say what God said. And I began saying it and saying it this whole chapter over and over and over again. How long did you have to do it? I don't want to tell you that because you're probably not as messed up as I was. But it wasn't weeks and it wasn't months and it was more than a year. Let me tell you that. I got the victory, baby. I've been free for years now. I couldn't wait till that second year. I couldn't wait till the second year was over. Because people ask you, how long has it been since you quit smoking? You hate to say year. Well, I was looking forward to that anniversary of that second year. Because then I could say years. Hey, we're all just human, you know what I'm saying? Years, I've been free for years, barely 2 years, you know what it is. Glory to God. Well, now listen, if that's the case, see, that happened with me. All right, now let's see. Y'all remember about 2.5-3 years ago when I got so bent over, hip problems, back problems, I could hardly walk, I looked like a 100-year-old man, you know, I was, you know, walking around like this. It was terrible, you know, it was terrible. And again, especially that one, it snuck up on me so slow that I don't know why I never put it together. I would just let my mouth run with the confession.
Right.
Run with the circumstances. You know, I'd say wonderful faith-building words like, my back is killing me. If this keeps on, I'm going to wind up, I got to have a hip replacement. If this keeps up, I'll be in a wheelchair. Real faith statement, see? Now what was happening, all those words were painting an image. And the physical pain was painting an image. See, the devil knows how faith works. Fear works the same way. See, fear is the substance of the thing you don't want. But he was painting the image of Gary in a wheelchair, and even though I didn't want that, every time I'm speaking it, I'm putting myself, thank God for my little wife one day, just come up, put her, see, today I'm putting my finger at your nose. Not in your nose, but at your nose, okay? I'm the one doing it to you. What are you saying?
Yes, thank you.
What are you acknowledging? What is it that God, what dream has God put on the inside of you? What is your hope? What is it that you're pressing toward, and what are you saying? Are you acknowledging every good thing? Because she just said to me, she said, look, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your whole ministry. And boy, she was so right. And it made me angry at first because I teach this stuff. But I sure wasn't doing it in that case. But I had to start, and boy, this thing doesn't turn on a dime now. I mean, it takes a while. Your life is like a big old ship like the Queen Mary, and you're going in a certain direction. Now, they can take that Queen Mary, and they can turn the wheel all the way that it'll go to the left. Honey, that thing going to take a while to get turned around, and where it turns around is a long way further down from where you started. That's why it usually gets worse. The day you change your confession is the day you spin the wheel to the left. But it takes a while for your life to begin to turn. And usually you're headed in the same, it's going in the same direction for a while. And it gets worse for a while. Okay? Well, that's exactly what happened. I had to, not only with the, I've learned it with the cigarettes. Sure enough, the day came. That fasting, yes sir, okay? I left out that part. See, it's the whole message. I mentioned it this morning and then I still forgot to tell about it. I had done a year's worth of fasting. I did not fast for a year. That would be the ultimate fast. Like Dave says, now that'll work. You'll never have any more trouble with your flesh after that one, you know. Even 90 days will probably get it done, you know. But I did do series fasting for a year. And really I was doing it for Tommy Perez, you know, Lynn Perez's boy. Because we'd already been up there, we'd prayed, we'd had a bunch of people with us, other ministers, and none of us could get him out of the wheelchair. So, what do, you know? So, I would do, for a whole year, every week, one day off, you know, one day eating, one day not eating, 2 days eating, 2 days not eating, and I'd kind of rotate 1, 2, 3, in and out, in and out, in and out, for a whole year. I never connected it up at all with that quitting, you know, smoking. But he told me later, about 6 months later, after I'd quit, he said, and I was still going through the withdrawals, I couldn't believe that I was making it. It's 6 months down the road. I couldn't believe after all those times before. I said, I honestly haven't had a cigarette in 6 months, but I was still going through hell with the withdrawals. And I couldn't believe I was making it. And one of the things he said to me, he said, you forgot all about that year of series fasting, didn't you? And I went, yeah, I did. I wasn't thinking about that connected with this. He says, see, one of the things that happens when you put any pressure on the flesh, like whether it's series fasting or a long fast, Daisy, am I telling the truth? When you fast, are you going to pick a fight with your emotions? Because it's the emotions normally that cause us to quit on anything. See, it's the emotions that beat you out. Well, fasting is where you pick a fight with your emotions on your own terms. I'm not going to wait till I'm in this fight for my life with the devil. I'm going to pick a fight with my emotions now. And I'm going to start showing you who's boss. First off, they're going to try and show you who's boss. You know? But that's how you can do it. Well, I'd forgotten all about that. But he told me, he said, that 6 months had more to do with you being able to walk in this than you yet realize. Because you had to, every week, almost every day, you had to fight those emotions. Fight them again and again. And then fight them again the next couple of days. And then fight him again. And every time I'd come off the fast, I'll tell you right now, my flesh would think we're done. That's it for the year. That's no more. And every time I go back in, even if it's just one day, no, you're going to kill me. I'm going to die. No. You know how the flesh is. You know? But he said, you just don't realize how much that helped just that much to get you over the edge. That year of putting down your emotions. Just enough where this time he is able to walk in. So it's the whole message. See, it's not just confession. It's not just praying in tongues. It's not just meditation and assimilation. It's fasting. I have trouble with that word, but fasting. I always feel about teaching about fasting after I've been to Red Robin. Glory to God. Endless fries and stacks of onion rings and glory to God. You know. Alright. But anyway, these confessions that we're doing, let me hold this up. See, this is basically our Romans chapter 6. This is basically our Romans chapter 6 for calling in the lost. This is statements either directly from the Word itself, or it is statements that God has spoken through prophecy here at the prayer center that we know is our assignment. So what are we doing? Well, are we seeing 1,000 people born again here every week? Not yet. Not yet. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if we want our faith to become effectual, we have to acknowledge every word of God that He's spoken, especially directly to us. And I noticed after we'd been doing this for a little while, that part where it says, every wheelchair emptied. First time. Every time. I got all of them, no exceptions. Well, I got to noticing, you know, somebody, you know, the church service would be going on, and somebody come in a wheelchair, somebody be pushing somebody in. I kind of look around at the people I know that come to calling in the lost, and they're all going, yeah. Yeah. But faith was building. See, faith is building. See? You wonder, ha, there's one right there. Get them out of the wheelchair. So look at it one more time in Philemon, and then we'll go ahead and start with the confessions. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He said it again. He said it this morning, and I wasn't expecting it. For the vast majority of those at the prayer center, what's happened, where we are, the cares of this world has got us neutralized. It's not, we're not, hey, if you want, you think you're going through some persecution and affliction, I'd suggest you subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs. Yes. I subscribe to it. It's free. You can go to persecution.com if you want to, you know, there's a lot of free things. And it's all free, but, you know, if you want to really get in depth and read a lot of it, you have to register. Just give your email and so forth. Yeah. And I've been with them for years. Did you know they're located in Bartlesville? The headquarters in Bartlesville? Yeah. Worldwide headquarters, yeah. Voice of the Martyrs. I'm telling you, you want to stay free from the, I started to say stupid gospel of, let's see. I mean, this they're preaching that, like I told you the other day, you know, oh, the more expensive your clothing, the stronger the anointing. Oh, for crying out loud. If you want to stay balanced, see, we don't suffer any persecution here. You want to read about persecution. This week they've got an article in there about a little young man in Chiapas, Mexico. I don't know exactly. They've got a map. I never heard of Chiapas, but in that region, it's primarily a blend of the Catholic faith and Santeria, which is kind of a voodoo thing. It's a blend of that. Lupi's shaking her head. She's heard of it. And I mean, they burn your Bibles there. They'll burn your house down. And they actually executed this one young Christian man just because he was a Christian. Just killed him. Buried him in a shallow grave. And the authorities kind of looked the other way because that's all right. You read that and you go, I'm not suffering any persecution for righteousness' sake. You read about it monthly, you know, Turkey, oh my God. India, the places. We're not being neutralized in this country yet. Now, it may change. That could change. I'll pray for the election. Pray we get a godly person in office. He told me twice today, most people at the prayer center, and that probably means most to the church in America, where we're being neutralized is in the cares of this world. Just the cares of this world. You get busy with doing the daily things, and see, you got to do the daily things. I mean, here we've got, I can't never think of names hardly, horseshoe guy back here. Travis. A horseshoe guy, you know. School teacher right here. What are you? Nurse. Okay. You know, we got all these different occupations. You know, and you got to be doing those things. There's Larry back there, runs a business. Home Depot, right? Works at Home Depot, manages a segment of their business. You have got to be occupied. I mean, he that doesn't provide for his own is denied the faith and worse than an infidel. But I'm telling you, it is so easy to get in the trap.
Yes, yes.
Get up, go to work, come home, watch a little TV, Shondalai a little bit. Maybe in the morning when you got up, you took your verse of the day. You know, He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Shondalai, Shondalai, I'm ready for work. You know. Go to bed. Come to church on Wednesday night. You know, come on Sunday. But most of your time, the cares of this world. See, and I'm 61 now. I graduated high school yesterday, people. I'm telling you. Or at least last week. To think it was over 40 years, you go, how did that happen? And it's amazing. He can steal decades. Now, it hasn't all been wasted, but I mean, when I think of what more we could have done, what more, and what more I want to get done the next 10 years, we got to be careful that the cares of this world don't, how he phrases it is perfect. It chokes the word.
Yes.
It's not that you release it. It's not that you turn away from it. It simply becomes unfruitful. It just becomes unfruitful. You're not witnessing anymore. You're not really praying anymore about your calling. You're not pressing towards the mark anymore. Just kind of existing. Boy, we cannot. We can't let Him steal our life like that. Now, we got to keep our jobs. We got to be providers. We got to do what we got to do. But man, we got to also spend that time pressing toward the mark. And part of that is acknowledging every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus, so that our faith, you can have non-effectual faith. See, I had that for years with that smoking. I loved the Lord. I'm on my way to heaven, but I knew what the Word said. I had knowledge of it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But my faith was non-effectual. One last time, go to Philemon. You got to see it yourself. It's possible to have non-effectual faith. Otherwise, why write it like this? That the communication of thy faith, that means the communication. In the King James, that usually means your walk, the way you live, may become effectual. Which means it's possible for it not to be effectual. Well, how would it become effectual? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In my case, that example, by His stripes. No, that's not it. No. I'm dead to sin. That's a good one. If I was sick, it'd be by His stripes I'm healed. Himself, I've done that one many times. Yeah. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. He blesses my bread and blesses my water, and He takes sickness away from the midst of me. But in that case, it was, I am dead to sin. I'm dead with Christ. I walk in new life with Him. I have been freed from sin. Puff, puff. You got to do it with your mouth. Don't wait till you have the manifestation. You'll never get it. Abraham would never have had that child if he hadn't have changed his acknowledging first. He had to change what he's saying before he changed what he's having. That's good stuff right there. You got to change what you're saying before you change what you're having. That's good stuff. Amen? Sue says, I ought to quit telling that I learned this at Starbucks. But I did. Well, Jason calls it the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
We was in there just a few weeks ago. I was getting a cafe Americano, glory to God, with a little room for cream, you know. And I just happened, you know you do. young man behind the counter. How you doing? I don't really care how he's doing. That's what you say, right?
Yes.
How you doing? He goes, this is the best day of my life. And he said it about like that, you know, just excited. I went, really? He said, that's right. I've never lived this day before. Something great's going to happen.
Amen.
God rebuked me for my... I had to learn this at Starbucks. Whereas we should be the ones with that attitude. Oh, I'm so tired and so weary. So foot sore and poorly shod going through this world. But at the end, there's God. Don't you want what I have, you know? For God's sake, I don't want what you have. We should be that kind of people. Man, people of expectancy, people of hope. Glory, this is the best day of my life. Haven't lived this day yet. Something great could happen. Wow. Man, we need to be that way going into the restaurant.
Amen.
You know, going, you know, your hands just, where's the sick? Where are they? Where, I know there's a sick person in this grocery store somewhere. Aha! I think we've got such an exciting life coming that is so different from that cares of this world. See, the cares of this world, boy, they'll beat you down to a nubbin. You all know what a nubbin is anyway. Man, I shouldn't have had to learn that at Starbucks. I ought to go give that boy a $100 tip. It didn't even say, this is the best day of my life anyway. We should be the ones with that expectancy. We should be the ones.